Rabbi Nizal began speaking about Emunas Chachomim, that when our faith in the rabbis is proper, then we have the ability to bring forth our justice, that our justice should be the one that's accepted. Whereas, when the Emunas Chachomim is not proper, then what happens is we are forced to go under the justice of the secular world, or the non-Jews. And Rabbi Nizal said that when a person learns Torah, the person has to be able to derive mishpatei emes, proper judgment, good advice, sound advice from the Torah, to be able to know how to conduct oneself, how to conduct others who are willing to accept my guidance and advice. Whereas when a person is poigem in emunas chachamim, when a person messes up in the area of respect for rabbis, then the person is punished with waste matter. That's the term that Rabbi Nizal used, moisrois, and quoting a Gemara, where the Gemara says that one who ridicules the words of the rabbis is punished in boiling excrement. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Koheles, V'lahag harbe yikias bosor. Because of the fact that this person ridicules the words of the rabbis, and their words are totally wasteful to him, chas v'shalom, the punishment is that that person is condemned to waste matter. And Rabbi Nizal explained that the concept of judgment and justice takes place in the brain. And when a person eats, if the body is pure, then the brain is also pure, and the brain is able to come up with clear, positive conclusions. Whereas chas v'shalom, when the person is punished with moisrois, with this waste matter, as we said before, as a result of not having proper faith in the rabbis, then foul vapors go up to the person's brain when the person eats, which confuse the person, and they don't allow the person to be able to come up with a clear sense of judgment, to be able to judge correctly, but rather the person ends up with a distorted mishpat. Rabbi Nizal gave the example from the Gemara of Doeg Ho'adomi, who was one of the advisors of Shaul HaMelech, who was this type. The Torah says he was Oitzer Satzmoy. He was constipated when he studied Torah. This caused that extra, the waste matter, to cloud his thinking and to mess up his thinking. That was paragraph Aleph. In paragraph Beis, Rabbi Nizal discussed the fact that there are leaders who are given the title rabbi, even though they don't really deserve it at all. Their knowledge comes from this waste matter, chas v'shalom. And not only can't they lead themselves, but they certainly cannot lead others. And yet, they take leadership to themselves. And Rabbi Nizal said it's extremely important for us not to ordain them, not to give them any power or authority, because those that do are going to be held accountable for that. And what happens is, when we do ordain or give power to a person who's not qualified to be a rabbi, Rabbi Nizal said that weakens our writings, so that our writings lose their power, and it gives strength to the writings of the goyim, that we should be totally under their authority. And this also results in them evicting us from places where we've settled, and Jews have been living as Jews for many years and established some of the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael there. And Rabbi Nizal went on to show the connection, how smicha, ordination, is done by the hands. It's a transfer of chachma that's done by the hands. And also the writings. The writings are done by our hands. And therefore there's a direct connection. When smicha, when ordination is misplaced, it's given to the wrong people, people who don't really deserve it, this affects the writings, and it results in the Jewish people being exiled from places where they had settled and established some of the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael. Then in paragraph Gimel, Rabbi Nizal said that this weakness in faith in the rabbis also causes us to lose the wisdom of astronomy and astrology, the wisdom that the greatest of rabbis have, in knowing how to do the intercalation of the year, and also knowing what's behind it, knowing the spiritual forces, the angels, and the highest levels of Chachma and Bina that Hashem uses to move the world, to control the world. This is what we spoke about last week in paragraph Gimel, and Rabbeinu Zal discussed the very high-level souls that are the ones who are above the angels and above these heavenly spheres, and they're the ones who actually control the movement of these heavenly spheres. And therefore, they're the ones who have this knowledge, the knowledge of the Soid Hoibur, the knowledge of the intercalation of the year, what's called this Soid Hoibur. This is pretty much where we left off last week, at the end of paragraph Gimel, and now we'll go into paragraph Dalet. Vayidezeh ein loy etzo shleimo liyolam. As a result of this lack of faith in the rabbis, which we said causes all of the damage that we spoke about, through this, ein loy etzo shleimo liyolam, the person never has proper advice and guidance. V'tomid eino yochel loseis etzo l'nafshoi. And the person is perpetually incapable of knowing what the right thing to do is, what path to choose, having the proper guidance and advice. V'hu tomid misupok. The person is always in doubt. Ki kol atzoisov bebechinas etzois nivorois. Because as a result of this lack of emunas chachomim, the person's advice is in the category of foolish advice, which is a term that's used in the Navi Yeshaya, where it says there that Paroi's wisest advisors offered him silly advice. And Rabbeinu Zal refers to this improper advice, he refers to it as atzas noshim, the advice of women. Now we know the Gemara makes conflicting statements. There's a place in the Gemara where the Gemara says, if your wife is short, bend down and listen to what she has to say. We know, for example, in the case of Avram Avinu, he was told to follow the advice of Sarah, his wife. These are exceptional cases. There's a certain norm, as we're going to see soon, where the Gemara says that normally the man is the one who's supposed to be devoting much more time to the study of Torah, to closeness to tzaddikim, and he's the one who's supposed to be advising, leading the family in terms of spiritual advice and guidance in most important decisions. So Rabbeinu Zal says here, if a person is poigim, if a person is lacking in faith in the rabbis, then they end up not being able to come up with proper advice. They're always in doubt. Their advice is silliness. And Rabbeinu Zal refers to it as women's counsel. Ki hatinoifes shel hamoisrois oile al halev. Because what happens is, the waste matter, we said before that when a person is poigim and emunas chachomim, this waste matter goes up to the heart. Bibichinas, as the pasuk says in Yecheskel, he'elu gilulehem alibom. They raised their excrement to their hearts. Venase liboy metunof kemoy beisakisei. And the person's heart, where some of the person's thinking takes place, the person's heart becomes filthy, like an outhouse, like a bathroom. Shehu mekoim atzas hanoshim, which is the place where women consult with each other. Women seek each other's advice in a beis hakisei. Kemaima ravilash, as in the statement of Ravilash. The Gemara says in Gittin that one time Rav Ilash and the daughters of Rav Nachman were taken captive by the Goyim. And it was revealed to Rav Ilash a way that he could possibly escape. If this was revealed to him by heaven, then he's going to succeed. And why shouldn't he take the daughters of Rav Nachman with him also? However, he said, in order to ensure that they're not going to be problematic, I'm going to first test them to see if they've remained loyal to their husbands during this time that they've been in captivity among the Goyim or not. How am I going to find out? He said, I'm going to go to the outhouse because that's where women usually have their discussions. The Gemara tells us that in those days, in the olden days, the outhouses were not in the home. They were outhouses. They were outside. And people, women especially, were afraid to go by themselves. So they would go in pairs, and each one would be in a separate room, but they would talk to each other. So the Gemara says he went out there and he listened to their conversation, and he understood that unfortunately they had not been loyal to their husbands. And as a result, he made a decision to leave without them, to escape without them. So this is one of the sources in the Gemara where the Gemara says over there that women discuss all of their concerns in the outhouse. Sheshom kol atzosom. Rabbi Nazal says that's where they take counsel. Now again, Rabbi Nazal here is referring not to righteous women, not to holy women. He's talking about those women who have a much lower level of intellect or connection to Torah than a man. And in that case, Rabbi Nazal is referring to their advice as being something that's inferior. Paragraph Hey. Now, a person who unfortunately is suffering from a deficiency in emunas chachamim, faith in the rabbis, and as a result, this person is steeped in this waste matter, where their brain is clouded and their heart is clouded. Yesh mayim shehu metahir mizois hatinoifes. There is a special type of water that can purify, that can cleanse the person from this filth, from the damage that comes from lack of emunas chachamim. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Yechezkel chapter 36, v'zorakti aleichem mayim tohirim, Hashem says, I'll sprinkle upon you pure waters, utahartem mikol tomoseichem, you'll be purified from all impurity, Umikol gilulechem atahereschem, and from all excrement I'll purify you. So we see this concept of these waters that purify a person from this waste. Vazai bo le'etzo shlema. And when a person is zoche to be purified from this waste, then the person is zoche to clear, proper advice. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in the next chapter in Yechezkel, "V'lo yechotzu l'shtei mamlochei soid," the Jewish people will never again be divided into two kingdoms. When a person is unclear about what to do, the Torah uses the terminology "cholak libam." Their hearts are divided. It's called a split decision. Split decision means we're not sure. Should we do this? Should we do that? Here also, the division in the kingdom of the Jewish people. Originally, when Dovid HaMelech took over the kingdom of the Jewish people, his kingdom was the kingdom of holiness. When his son Shlomo HaMelech took over the kingdom, he took it to the next level of perfection of the kingdom. But unfortunately, after Shlomo HaMelech, his son Rechavam took over the kingdom, and the Torah tells us that during his time there was major economic struggle, and Rechavam wasn't sure of how to deal with it, so he sought advice from two different groups of people. He sought advice from the elders and from the youths. The elders told him, go easy on the people. They're going through very, very difficult times. Ease up on the taxes, ease up on other things until they get back on their feet. The youths told him, no, you have to show them who's boss, you've got to be in control, you've got to be even tougher than you were before. And Rechavam, by following the wrong, misleading advice of the youths instead of the elders, this led to a split in the kingdom, where the 10 tribes separated from the 2 tribes. And this was a terrible, terrible tragedy that took place in Klal Yisrael. And again, this came as a result of wrong type of advice. So the terminology that's used here, when it says that when the advice will be restored, when the person will have proper advice, then there'll no longer be any split in the kingdom. V'lo yitamu oid begilulehem. And they will never again defile themselves with excrement. So we see these things go together. By being purified from the filth and the excrement, they'll no longer be two kingdoms. And now Rabbeinu Zal is going to show us that the word mamlochos, the word malchus means kingdom, and the word malchus also means advice. Bechinas etzois, the term mamlochos also means advice. Kamoshe Kosuv, as it says in Daniel, that Daniel, when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel said to King Nebuchadnezzar, Milki yishparaloch. May my advice be acceptable to you. Milki means advice. Hainu shezoiche le'etzo shlemo. When we say that there'll no longer be a split in the kingdom, the advice will not be split. It won't be broken in half. The advice will be whole. It'll be solid. Kal yidei hamayim anal nasim etzloi etzos shlemois. Because through these purifying waters, we'll see in a minute what these purifying waters mean. Through these purifying waters, we are zoche to perfection of etza, of advice. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Mishle, mayim amukim etza belevish. The deep waters are the advice that's found in a man's heart. And the pasuk continues there, ve'ish tvunois yidlena. A person who has real deep understanding, he'll be able to draw those waters, those deep waters, which represent proper advice, good, healthy advice. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, what are these waters that we're talking about here? Ve'elu hamayim heim bechinas machloikis. The waters that we're referring to here are the concept of machloikis. Machlekes means opposition, disputes. Bechinas mei meriva. As the Torah refers to this, when Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed by Hashem to speak to the rock in order to draw water from it, and instead, because of the fact that the Jews were arguing and bickering with Moshe Rabbeinu, it caused Moshe Rabbeinu to lose it to a degree, and Moshe Rabbeinu struck the rock instead of speaking to it. The Torah refers to those waters as mei meriva, the waters of disagreement. V'alkein machloikis nikra plugta, and this is why we find in the Gemara, in Aramaic, the term for disagreement is plugta, bechinas peleg elikim mole moyim, which is similar to the Hebrew word peleg, which means a stream of water. The pasuk says, "Peleg Elohim mole moyim." The stream of Hashem is full of water. So here we see the connection between water and machlokes. And now Rabbeinu Zal is going to elaborate on this and explain what are these waters. What is this machlokes? That's the cure that washes away this tinoifes, this filth, this excrement that resulted from lack of emunas chachamim. Kimikol machlokes nase sefer. Whenever there is a disagreement, people are taking different sides. One says A, the other one says B. One says right, the other one says left. Rabbeinu Zal says this results in a responsa, in a book. Bechinas sheilois utshuvois. Just like we know there's the term responsa, which is the results of questions and answers. A person asks, I don't understand, why is this like this, or how should this be? And the other person gives the response. They're both on opposite ends of a fence, in a sense. Ki hamachloikis, hi she'ela v'kushya, she'makshin v'shoyen olav, because machloikis, dispute, is generally in the form of a question or an objection that's raised by somebody. Reuven raises a question or an objection against Shimon, Vehu shav b'tshuva, and Shimon returns with an answer, with a response. And the Hebrew word for answer or response is the term tshuva. When a person experiences opposition, machlokes, dispute, one of the right ways for a person to deal with it is to repent, to do tshuva. Obviously, if people are arguing, are opposing me, could be it means that there are things that I need to correct. So they wouldn't oppose me. V'yideze humeshiv umetaretz hashela. And through this, the person answers the question, v'nase b'china sefer she'elois u'tshuvois, and this results in a book of questions and answers, responsa. We know that there are thousands of sforum like this, where different rabbis wrote to each other on their opinions on different issues, discussing, asking questions, giving answers, debating certain issues, and these sforum are called Shailos HaTshuvos. K'al Yedei HaTshuva. Now Rabbeinu Zal moves a little bit in another direction. Again, the word tshuva means answer and response. The word tshuva also means repentance. Rabbeinu Zal says now, K'al Yedei Tshuva, because when a person feels himself under attack, he's being opposed. Rabbeinu Zal says, K'al Yedei HaTshuva, Al Yedei Zeh Nischachin Etzloi Kama Sforim. When a person does tshuva, when a person is undergoing major machloikis, investigation, questioning, and the person repents, as a result of that, there are many books that suddenly become new to the person. They gain new respect and meaningfulness to the person. These books, which before he looked at as nonsense, foolishness. Again, we're talking about a person who was weak in emunas chachamim, respect for the rabbis. So he made fun of the rabbis, and their books were something totally unnecessary to him. And now, as a result of these waters, as a result of this machloikis, this opposition, the person is forced to do tshuva, and as a result of the tshuva, we're going to see soon these books take on new positive meaning. And now Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki yesh kamo sforim achshov, because nowadays there are many books, v'gam asiden lihiyos oid kamo sforim, and in the future there are going to be much more additional books, v'chulam tzrichim lohoilam. And all of these books are necessary. The world needs them. He's talking here definitely about Torah books. Ubatchila kishloi ha, and in the beginning, kishloi ha yoloi emunas chachamim, when the person was lacking in faith and respect for the rabbis, azai hayu kol hasforim etzloi kiloi. Then all of these sforim that are written by the rabbis were all meaningless to him. Nothing, they didn't count to him at all. Ki hayo maligalem, he made fun of them. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Koheles, asois sforim harbe ein keitz, making many books without limit, velahag harbe, and a lot of ridicule. Dahainu shemalig al riboy sifreim. This means that there are people who make fun of the many sforim that are being written. Every time they see a new sefer, oh, look, now he wrote a sefer. Who does he think he is? And just a bunch of nonsense. Who needs it? You know, I'm sure there's nothing new here. I'm sure I know everything that's in here already. Chas v'shom. Vazai kulam kiloy etzloy. And when the person is lacking in emunas chachamim, then all of these sforim mean nothing to the person. Ukisheshov b'tshuva al ze, and when the person repents for this, he does tshuva. Azay nischadesh etzloi b'chol pam sefer. With every step of tshuva, of repentance, a new sefer takes on good meaning for him. Ki choizrim v'nechshovim etzloi kol hasforim shebetchilo hoyu bein of kiloi, because all of those books that previously he saw them as meaningless, now they gain new importance and significance to him. V'hakoil l'fi amachloikis. And all of this is commensurate with the level of and the type of machloikis, the type of opposition, the type of dispute that the person encounters. Ki hu mistakel u'mizboinen b'machloikis. Because if the person is smart, he analyzes and reflects on this machloikis that he's experiencing. Mipnei ma hem cholkim kach? Why are these people opposing me like this? Be'elu adiburim, with these words, with this specific issue. V'loy boifen acher, why not in some other way? And through this, he thinks deeply into figuring out what he has to correct. And especially to repair his defective and deficient faith in rabbis. Kimishom nimshach ha-machlokes, because that's really where the machlokes is originating from, al yidei shepogam be'emunas chachomim, because of the fact that he was lacking in faith in the rabbis. Ulefi ha-tshuva, and based on the repentance that the person does, lefi ha-machlokes, based on the opposition that he experiences. Because we know the Gemara tells us that very often Hashem punishes a person midah keneged midah. Hashem punishes a person in a way that if the person will analyze the punishment, they'll be able to realize what they're doing wrong, what they did wrong, how to repair it. So in this case where a person experiences machloikis, opposition, according to the machloikis, keinu chayzer v'shav alamunas chachamim, commensurate to that, the person does tshuva for what was lacking in their faith in the rabbis, ukemoike nischadish etzloi sefer, and as a result, a sefer now takes on new importance to him, ki choizer v'nechshav beinov ma'ashoye betchila keinu beloi, because again, now it becomes meaningful to him and special to him that which previously was insignificant to him. V'chein b'chol pam, and the same thing happens each time, lefi ha-machloikis, based on the opposition that the person experiences, kein ha-tshuva. There's a corresponding response of repentance. Sheshov v'choizer el-hamunas chachamim. The person goes back and again tries to improve and repair his lack of faith in rabbis. U'kemoikein eschadish etzloi sefer acher. And now another sefer takes on positive meaning to him. And so on and so forth. And therefore, now Rabbi Nazal summarizes this with a pasuk. The pasuk, he's going to quote part of the pasuk now and come back to this later in the Torah to give us the other half of the pasuk. V'alkein, al yidei ha-machloikis na'ase sefer. This is why the Torah tells us that machlokes, difference of opinions, generates a book, generates books. We know that our Gemara generally, our Torah Shebal Peh, is all about machlokes. In the Mishnah, this rabbi says kosher, this rabbi says posel, this rabbi says you're allowed, not allowed. Then we go into the Gemara where each one has to bring their proofs, and they debate, they go back and forth. That's how the whole Torah Shebal Peh came about. So Rabbi Nazal says now that through machloikis, it produces a sefer. V'ze bechinas, this is what the pasuk says in Iov, v'sefer kosav ish rivi. Iov says, let the one who's arguing with me write a book. Again, riv means machloikis. Machloikis results in sefer kosav. Shaydei riv u'machloikis nase sefer. Now Rabbi Nazal is going to clarify the topic of Emunas Chachamim. He's going to give us a few different examples of it. When we get to the end of this paragraph, we'll be open to questions. Ve'yesh tzadikei hador. There are tzadikim of the generation, leading tzadikim, she'emunos shlema bevadai, whose faith in Hashem and faith in tzadikim is definitely perfect, solid. V'yafal pikein, yesh aleihem machloikis. And despite that, they have opposition. They have machloikis against them. Rabbi Nazal says, hu bebechinas, v'hu chet rabim noso, v'avoinoisom hu yisboil. There, the opposition that they are experiencing is following the pasuk which says, he carries the sins of many, and their sins, because of their sins, he suffers. Hainu, sheyesh loy machloikes b'shvil ho'olam. This tzaddik is experiencing opposition and suffering on behalf of the world, not because of his own deficiencies, not because of something he's lacking, but in order to remove suffering from the Jewish people. V'alidei ha-machloikis she'esh olov, ha-idei zeh mesakein ho-emunas chachomim etzel ha-hamoinam. And through the opposition that this tzaddik endures and experiences, through this he corrects any lack of faith that was found among the masses, among the regular people. That's one example that Rabbeinu Zal gives of a pigam in emunas chachamim in the masses, which sometimes results in tzaddikim, leading tzaddikim who are pure in their faith, whereby these tzaddikim have to endure suffering, opposition. V'yesh, there's another category, sheyesh achleya machloikes, there are people who have opposition against them, machmas she'ein lohem emuna bi'atzman, because they don't believe in themselves. They don't consider themselves important and significant in the eyes of Hashem. They don't consider every action that they do meaningful and special in the eyes of Hashem. Ve'einom ma'aminim b'chitushei toiru shelohem she'mechatshim. Some of these people don't believe in the Torah insights that they originate. They don't believe that Hashem has tremendous pleasure from their original insights in Torah that they bring forth. Because they don't believe that their Torah insights are important, they end up being lazy in a sense and being remiss regarding trying to produce new original insights in Torah, delving into the Torah deeply and trying to discover new diamonds, new precious thoughts from the Torah. And because of this lack of faith in themselves, Hashem sends opposition to them. There's machloikis, disputes against them. Vaydezeh heim shovin b'tshuva. That causes them to repent. And when they do tshuva, v'choizrim v'nechshovim etzlom chidushim shelohem. Their eyes are opened, and they come to a realization that their original thoughts of Torah are special, they are meaningful, they are worth writing down. And now these rabbis return to studying Torah deeply and to coming out with original thoughts in Torah. And this generates a sefer. This Torah that we're learning now, chapter 61, is a shir which Rabbeinu Zal gave on Rosh Hashanah. During the summer, a few months before that, Rav Nosson Zal was once with Rabbeinu Zal, and Rabbeinu Zal commented to him, Rav Nosson Zal was complaining about different struggles he was going through, different difficulties, different opposition, and Rabbeinu Zal said to him, very often, the reason why a person experiences opposition is because they're lacking in faith. And Rav Nosson looked at him very surprised, because Rav Nosson Zal felt that that was one of his strongest points in life. One of his greatest strengths was his faith in Hashem, faith in the Torah, faith in tzaddikim, faith in Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbeinu Zal looked at him and said, I mean faith in yourself, believing in yourself, that your thoughts of Torah are significant and important. And in the Torah that Rabbeinu Zal said the following Rosh Hashanah, he included this as a very important message to Rav Nosson Zal and to others, for them to realize their value and not to take it lightly. And Baruch Hashem, as a result of this, Rav Nosson Zal wrote thousands of pages of Chidushei Torah in Likutei Halachos, which we are benefiting from today, hundreds of years later. Now Rabbeinu Zal continues, Ulefamim, at times, Nase Mize Sefer Lamala. It generates a sefer not down here on earth, but above in heaven. Shaidei Sheze Shoyel Umaksha. By one person asking a question or an objection, v'zeh shov betshuva, and the one that they're asking it to, the one that they're objecting to, repents, he responds. He responds with repentance, v'ideze meshiv umetaretz, by doing tshuva, that enables him to come up with a good, healthy response to the question, to the opposition. V'ideze nase sefer lemala. This generates a sefer above, on high. Bebechina, says the pasuk says in Malachi, Oz nidbaru yirei Hashem ishal reyehu. Then, people who are really, truly God-fearing people speak to each other. Vayakshev Hashem vayishma. And Hashem listens carefully and hears what they're both saying. Vayikosev sefer. And a book is written. So again, we see that there's a discussion. There's a give and take. A question and answer between two people who are Yirei Hashem. And it results, Hashem listens. And a sefer is written where? On high. Any questions up to this point?
Are there any exercises that one can do in order to help build the Emunas Atma?
The answer is, number one, by studying the words of the Tzaddikim, which teach us the words of the Gemara, the words of Rabbein Ezel, which give us some tremendous encouragement and open our eyes to recognize how important each and every one of us is in the eyes of Hashem. The Gemara says in one place that a person should always look at the world as being in perfect balance, the good and the bad. And the next move that I'm about to make, the next thought that I'm going to think, or the next word that I'm going to say, the next action I'm going to do, if it's a mitzvah, it's not only going to benefit me, it's going to tip the scales for the entire world in favor. And if chas v'shalom I do the wrong thing, it'll cause the opposite. This is just an example of thousands of statements in the Gemara, in the Torah Shebaal Peh, and especially in the words of Rabbeinu Zal and Rabbi Nelson Zal, where they open our eyes to know how important, how much Hashem is waiting to hear from us, how much He wants us to speak to Him. The pasuk says, "Kchu imochem dvorim v'shuvu el Hashem." Bring with you words and return to Hashem. The Gemara says, "Omar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, ein ani mevakesh mikem ela dvorim." Hashem says, "The only thing I ask from you is talk to me, speak to me." You know, there are many examples which the rabbis show us how incredibly significant and important everything we do is. And how each and every Jew makes a difference. You can have 9 tzaddikim, or the greatest tzaddikim in the room, and they can't say Kaddish, they can't say Baruch Hu, they can't say Chazor HaSashatz. And the most simple, regular person comes into the room just for a few minutes. He says, "I can't stay long, I can only stay for 5-10 minutes." In those 5-10 minutes, he changes the laws completely, completely. Where they're able to say Kaddish or Baruch Hu or Chazor HaSashatz, all of these things, because of an action, because one person moved from outside the room into the room. Any other questions? Okay.
Just so I could clarify and make sure I understand the answer. But there's obviously the learning of the Divrei Tzaddikim, but also to look beyond what their words are, such as the quote of the Gemara, and also the Rambam mentions about watching the world as a balance where we're the ones who affect it. And if we're the ones who affect it, how important we must be, and how great our learning and our mitzvahs must be. And about how even if we're the simplest person, we can affect change in the halakha, that we are the minyan. So it's not just learning the words, but also bringing them to the thought process and the practicality of how heavily we weigh in towards the completion of the world and of mitzvahs in the world.
Correct. Okay, now we move into another phase of this Torah where Rabbeinu Zal is going to be discussing the topic of Hamtokas Hadinim, sweetening judgments. And he's going to go into depth and then connect this, attach this to what we've been learning till now. Try to pay close attention. We'll try to make it as clear as we can. Val Yedei Zeh. And again, by following everything we spoke about till now, by a person being zeicha to real emunas chachomim, and thereby being zeicher that whenever they study Torah, they're able to derive clear advice and direction and justice from the Torah. Al yidei zeh nimtokim kol hatzintzumim. This sweetens and mitigates all constrictions, all judgments, all harsh judgments, shehem hadinim, which are referred to as dinim, v'chol mokoim sheyesh eze din v'tzimtzum, and wherever there is some type of a harsh judgment or a constriction, nimtak al yidei zeh, it's mitigated by correcting our lack of faith in the rabbis. Al yidei tikun emunas chachomim, shayidei zeh nisrabim hasforim shel haTorah Kedosha. Because as we learned before, that when we correct anything lacking in our faith in rabbis, this results in a tremendous increase in the books of the Torah. Meaning that those books of the Torah, which until now were being ignored or frowned upon or insulted, ridiculed, those books now are suddenly taking on tremendous meaning and importance, and they're being studied, they're being published, they're being publicized. Ki kol hamtokois shel kol hatzintzumim vadinim hu al yedei hasechel. Because all mitigation and sweetening of all harsh judgments and constrictions is accomplished through sechel, through the intellect. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, there's a very famous statement in the Zohar HaKadosh, Ki kulam b'machshava is beriru. They are all purified in thought. Everything is purified and corrected in thought. Shehasechel hu shoyresh hadinim. Because the source, the origin of all judgment and din is in sechel. We know that everything originates from sechel. We had previously the pasuk kulam bechachma asiso. Hashem created everything with chachma. When Hashem's light began to take on shape and form, it started to take shape and form in the form of chachma. From there, it went down to bina and das and chesed and gvura, etc., etc. But everything started from chachma. And therefore, we're going to see, whenever we need to correct anything, we always go back up to the source. We know that usually, generally, we say that bina dinen misaramina, that the midas hadin originates from bina, because bina is pictured on the left side. But that's regarding from our perspective down here below, when we're looking up, we see the Midas Hadin coming from the left side, which is Bina. However, even Bina, we know, receives its light from above it, from Chachma. So therefore, the Zohar HaKadosh says, everything gets mitigated and purified in Machshava, in Shehasechel hu Shoyresh Hadinim, Vishom Nimtokim Hadinim. Sechel is the source of all din, and there all judgments are mitigated. This is why the day of judgment is called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh means beginning. Rosh also means the head, the sechel, the chachma. Ki ein hadin nimtak elo b'sharoshoy. Because we have a rule in Sifrei Kabbalah that a judgment, a harsh judgment, can only be mitigated at its source, by its roots. V'chol din v'tzimtzum tzorech sheyia nimtak basechel hashayach loy shesham sharoshoy. And each and every individual judgment has to be sweetened by the specific sechel that's related to it, which is its source. Meaning, if we could picture that there are wires extending from chachma, from above, from the sechel, there are wires extending down, and down below, at the end of this wire, sometimes, there'll be a judgment, a harsh judgment, a midas hadin. And in order to mitigate that, we go up to the source. We have to trace it to its source in sechel and chachma. This is one of the reasons why the Torah says, the Talmud Torah keneged kulam, why the study of Torah is so important, and why for a Jew to use his brain, his mind, is so important, Because again, seichel is the origin, it's the beginning of everything. And if a person repairs their seichel, if a person is using their seichel for holiness, that will very often automatically eliminate harsh judgments. V'yesh l'chol tzimtzum v'tzimtzum seichel she'al yodei nimtok. Each and every single constriction, each and every single aspect of din has a specific seichel, which is the one which is going to mitigate it, which is going to sweeten that judgment. Ach yesh chochma ilo. However, there is an upper chochma, there is an upper wisdom, shekol hachochma is klulim shom, where all types of wisdom are included in that upper chochma. That upper chochma is a composite of all the chochmas put together. Umekaple misham, and all chochmas draw from that upper chochma. V'yalkein shom nimtokim kol hadinim, and therefore in that upper chochma, all dinim can be mitigated, can be sweetened. Ki bahasichliim protiim, because when we speak about the individual seichels, the specific bits of seichel. A particular seichel, seichel number 3164, can only be mamtik din number 3164, which that seichel is the shoyrish of that din. But when we go to chochma ilah, shekolul mikulam, which is a composite of all of them, nimtokim kol atzimtzumim v'chol adinim kulam, that can sweeten and mitigate all the constrictions and all the judgments. That's the concept of like a control room in a building, where all the wires, everything leads back to there, and that actually controls the energy for the entire building. Each floor might have its own generator, each room has its own little box or whatever it is. But again, there's a control center which is feeding energy and controlling everything. V'hatoyra shehi yoytzeis michochma ilah. Now, the Torah, which comes from chochma ilah, which comes from this upper wisdom, ki oyraisa mechochma ilah nafkas, because the Zohar Kodesh says the Torah emerges from a super high level of chachma. Ve'ein yecholo lekabel michachma ilah, and the Torah cannot receive its light, its energy, from that upper chachma, kiim kishiyesh lo shleimus, unless the Torah itself is whole, complete. Ushleimus ha-Torah, the wholesomeness of the Torah, the shleimus of the Torah, hi'al yidei Torah shebal peh, is brought about through the oral Torah. Ki Torah shebichsav ein lo shleimus ki ma'idei Torah shebal peh. Because the written Torah is not whole, complete. We cannot understand it. We can't really benefit from it just about whatsoever without the oral Torah, the Torah shebal peh. V'alkein, and therefore, al yidei hasforim hanal shenischachna yidei machloikis, as a result of all of those books of Torah, which were part of the oral Torah, they were written by rabbis, which originally, when the person was lacking in Emunas Chachamim, all of those books were in the garbage. I don't need them. I have no use for them. But as a result of the Machloikis, we said, when the person experiences Machloikis, and then they do tshuva, and then those books become new, they take on new significance. Bebechinas, the Sefer Kosav Ish Rivi, that as a result of the Riv, the Machlekes, books are written, meaning these books of oral Torah, of Torah Shebal Peh, take on new significance. They become very important, and they're being studied and learned. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, which we quoted earlier, Asois Sforim Har Be'ein Keis, the making of many books without limit, Aideze Nishlam HaTorah. This is what completes the Torah, and this is what gives the Torah the ability to receive its light from above, from its source, which is called Chochma Ilah. Vazai, and then Hatoira bebechinas luchois ho'evem. And then the Torah is referred to as tablets of stone, tablets made of stone. The term luchois refers to the Torah here. The stone, Rabbi Nizal says, shemekabeles he'oro mebechinas even shesia. This refers to the Torah receiving a beam of light, illumination, from the foundation stone from which Hashem created the world, which is called the Evan Shesia, the stone that was in the Holy of Holies in the Beis HaMikdash. Ki kol davar sheboilom yesh loy tzimtzum acher bekamus v'yechus. Every single thing that exists in this physical world, in the materialistic world, has its own particular tzimtzum in quality and quantity, in weight and size and color and smell, all the things that define every particular item in the physical world, in the materialistic world, those are all tzimtzumim. This item is wet, it's not dry, or this thing is dry, it's not wet. Each and every single thing having its own specific definition, its own boundaries. V'chol ha-tzimtzumim shebo ilom, kulam nirshamim be'evin shesia. And all of the constrictions and contractions of the world are all recorded in the Evan Shesia, Shemimenu Hushtas Oilam, from which the world was founded. The Torah tells us that Hashem founded the entire world from this rock called the Evan Shesia. It's the foundation of the entire world. V'chulam mekablim mimenu. And everything in the world receives from this Evan Shesia. V'shom hamtokas kol hadinim. And that is the place from which all harsh judgments are mitigated. We know that on Yom Kippur, the Gemara speaks, that the Torah speaks about this, that one day a year on Yom Kippur, one Jew, the Kohen Gadol, would go into the Holy of Holies, where during the first Beis HaMikdash, you had the Oroim there, the Holy Ark, with the Luchais in it, etc. In the second Beis HaMikdash, you had the Evan Shesia there. Kihu bechinas chochma ilah. This Evan Shesia represents this chochma ilah, bechinas kodshei kodoshim, which is referred to as Holy of Holies. Ki hasechel nikra kodesh. Because we know intellect, chochma, is called kodesh. We've mentioned this in the past. There's a pasuk, kadesh li kol b'chor. Sanctify to me every firstborn. The term b'chor means first, and chochma is called b'chor. Chochma is the first of the spheros, of the midos of Hashem. So we see that chochma is referred to as kodesh, kadesh li kol b'chor. There's another pasuk, kodesh yisroel Hashem, reishis tevuasoi. The Jewish people are sanctified to Hashem, we are holy to Hashem, we are the first of His produce. Again, Reishis, which is Chochma, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, is called Kodesh. So Rabbi Nizal says, Sechel, ordinary Sechel, is called Kodesh. V'chula mekablim v'nechlolim bebechinas kodshe kodoshim. But all the billions and trillions of pieces of Sechel are all plugged into and included and received from the Kodshei Kodoshim, the Holy of Holies, Shehu Bechinas Chochma Ilah, which is this upper wisdom, Shekolol Mikulam, which is a composite of all the different Sichliim. Umishom Hamtokas Kol Hadinim Biprotius Ubeklolius. And it's from there, from this Chochma Ilah, that all severe judgments, individual, collectively, all of them, are mitigated and sweetened. Ki gam kishemamtikim hadin beprat beize sechel shleize tzimtzum. Because even when we're not dealing with the chochma ilah, even when we're dealing on a one-to-one basis, we're trying to mitigate, like we said before, din number 3664, with Seichel, number 3664, Gamkein, Tzrichin Gamkein, Lahamshich Koyach Misechel Ho Elyon Anal. This individual Seichel must receive from the upper Seichel, Kedei Shiyir Koyach Lezeh Seichel Aproti Laham Tegadin, in order for it to be able to sweeten the judgment. V'chein Beklolius. So that's on an individual basis. Each one has to receive from the boss of bosses, from the top, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'chein Beklolius. And the same thing is true if we look at the big picture collectively. Lahamtik Kol Hadinim Me'ezet Simtzum Sheyir. If we want to be able to mitigate all severe judgments using the intellect of any particular din, Efshir, it's impossible to do it. Lahamtik Kim Aidei Bechinas HaSeichel Elyon. Unless we go up to that upper wisdom, that Chochma Yiloh, Bechinas Kodshei Kodoshim, Bechinas Even Shesia, the Holy of Holies, which is referred to also as this foundation rock of the world. We'll hold it over here for now. Any questions?
Are there connections to Purim in this idea of the Even Shesia?
Good question. The answer is that there's a pasuk in Mishlei where it says, Yikorohi Mipninim. Here we're talking about the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, which the Kohen Gadol was allowed to go into once a year in order to mitigate all of these harsh judgments. The Gemara says that the Talmud Chacham, the Tzaddik, is more precious than the Kohen Gadol. Yikorohi Mipninim. He's even holier, higher than that. And we see that Mordechai HaTzadik, even though Mordechai and Esther, even though there was no Beis HaMikdash at the time, there was no Holy of Holies, through their Torah and their Tefillah, they were able to eliminate this incredible, harsh din, Lahashmid V'laharoy Gula'abed Eskol HaYehudim. They were able to neutralize it completely. Not only that, but to turn it over, V'nahafechu, to turn it completely over, as a major victory and success and happy holiday for the Jewish people. It's brought that Simcha, Purim in the month of Adar is all about Simcha. And Simcha is referred to as the Keser, the crown. There's a pasuk, V'simchas Oilam al Roshon, eternal joy on their heads, on the head. On the head is where the crown sits. On the head is where this Chochma Iloh is. That's another term for this Chochma Iloh, this highest level Chochma. And that's the Simcha of Purim. We should be Zeicha to really, really celebrate our connection to Hashem, our connection, and to strengthen. And it's all about faith in Tzadikim. We know that Mordechai and Esther were leading the whole battle against Amalek. And Esther Amalka told Mordechai, Lech Kenoises, go gather all the Jews and have them fast for me and pray for me. And it was through that unity under the leadership of the Tzaddikim, that's what brought us the victory. Just like every time we went out of exile, it was through the leadership of the Tzaddik. We went out of Mitzrayim through the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. Purim, Mordechai and Esther. Hanukkah, Matisyo and his sons. And the Gula that we're waiting for now is based on our faith in Moshiach, that Moshiach is going to be able to fix everything. And again, we believe that today, if we're Zeche, if we're worthy, if we do the right thing, Moshiach can come today, Mitzvah Shem. B'mheira b'yameinu.